I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, Hillary Clinton's pantsuit, Sarah Palin's peep-toe pumps, and Michelle Obama's colorful dresses have all drawn attention from the fashion and political pundits this election season. That attention isn't always welcome. Some listeners and readers say the whole thing is sexist, but other people say lighten up. So we're going to step carefully into those treacherous waters and take a look at what clothes say about candidates and their spouses. That's in just a few minutes. But first, it's back to school season. And this week, we've been talking about contemporary issues in education. Today, Michelle Rhee, chancellor of Washington, D.C.'s public schools. Her efforts to reform the city's notoriously low-performing schools have demanded tough choices, and she's making them. Last year, she closed more than 20 schools, fired dozens of principals, and made serious cuts in administrative staff. This year, Rhee aims to revolutionize the relationship between teachers and schools, challenging teachers to give up their tenure in exchange for a shot at higher salaries. But some say it's not about education, but undermining teachers' unions. D.C. School Chancellor Michelle Rhee joins us now. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
This is a job that has chewed up a lot of people in recent years, as we know. Something like 7 superintendents in 10 years in the district. Are you still glad you took this job?
Absolutely. I love my job. I think it's the best job that a person could possibly have.
Why?
You know, because I get to wake up every single morning and ensure that the children of this city are getting the education they deserve, in particular the ones that have in the past been disserved. And I can't think of anything more worthy than I could be doing every day.
Well, just as a measure of the task that's facing you, this year Education Week's annual report gave D.C. public schools a D-plus grade overall and an F in student achievement. Now, of course, these scores were calculated before you took the position in D.C., but what do you think is the most important thing you've done to turn this around?
I think the most important thing that we did last year was to start to create the conditions for success in this school district and really start to change the culture to one where the adults understand that we have to produce results for children in order to stay, you know, working for this system.
Speaking of the culture, in some ways, D.C. public schools are just emblematic of the kinds of challenges facing all urban public school systems or most urban public school systems. You've got infrastructure that in some cases has been neglected for many years. You've got a student population that runs the gamut between kids who are pretty well off to those who are very much deprived. And you've got sometimes strained relations between the teachers' union and school administrators. There's always been this debate. There's been this debate for years about whether the critical issue is kind of the poverty of the students or the needs of the students or what happens in school. You're very strongly on record as saying that the critical piece is what happens in school every day. Do you think that the city has bought into that point of view?
I don't think that there is widespread and consistent consensus on that point. I find that as I go out and give speeches and talks around the city, oftentimes I'm approached by people, very well-meaning people, who want to support me in my efforts, who say, you know, we love you, we think you're energetic and smart and enthusiastic, but you're never going to be able to do this. And when I say, well, why do you think that? They say, because you can't overcome the environmental factors that these kids have in their lives every day, and the fact that, you know, they didn't eat breakfast in the morning before they came to school, or nobody put them to bed the night before at a decent hour. All of those things are going to determine whether or not these children can do well in school. And I completely disagree with that point of view. I believe that those things are real challenges that have to be addressed and that they have to be taken into account as we're educating our kids. But we see in classrooms and in schools across this city that it is absolutely possible to overcome those environmental challenges that kids come to school with. And it's just a matter of the adults being incredibly focused on the end game.
You've introduced a program where kids in some middle schools will be paid cash for attendance and good behavior. Isn't that, though, about changing student cultures? Isn't that kind of about changing the environment in some way?
I think it's about changing the environment in the schools. That we can absolutely control what happens within the confines of the school. I also think that what it is doing, it is sort of equalizing the playing field or making up for the fact that a lot of our children don't have home environments and structures where they're incentivized and, you know, sort of given motivation to do well in school and to aspire to higher education and that sort of thing. And so we view the program in large part as trying to equalize the playing field.
You worried at all about the message that cash for grades sends to students, or cash for attendance sends to students?
Absolutely not. I think the message that it sends to students is if you work hard and you do the right thing, and if you achieve at high levels, then you'll be rewarded for that. And that's exactly the kind of message that we want to send. It's interesting because I've gotten a fair amount of emails and communications about this, and people say, well, you know, you want kids to be intrinsically motivated simply by the desire to learn and that sort of thing. And Professor Fryer, Roland Fryer, who's out of Harvard, who is our partner in this effort, said, you know, I teach undergraduates at Harvard, which are the sort of cream of the crop. And he's like, guess what? None of them are here because of the love of learning. You know, they're all here because they want to move on to jobs in Fortune 500 companies and make a whole lot of money and be successful and famous.
Oh, no, step light there. I was an undergraduate at Harvard, and I don't know.
But, you know, so I think that, you know, to say that we can't do something like this because we have to remain focused on building the love of learning in kids is a little flawed, because right now everything that we have done in this school system in the past without giving monetary incentives has not built that love of learning.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're speaking with Michelle Rhee, Chancellor of Washington, D.C.'s public schools. We were just talking about her plan to pay some students for academic performance, middle school students. We'd like to hear from you about this, especially if you have some experience with this kind of incentivized program. You can call our comment line at 202-842-3522. That's 202-842-3522. Or you can go to our blog on the Tell Me More page at npr.org. Let's talk about teachers. You've asked teachers to consider surrendering their tenure in exchange for a chance to earn a major bonus, even a six-figure salary over time, if their performance is outstanding. Talk to me about this. Why is this important to you?
Sure. Well, first of all, I think this is often in the media framed the wrong way. We're not having them sign a contract where they actually have to do this. We're actually asking them to sign a contract where there'd be a two-tier system and where they could choose either to participate in what we're calling the green tier, which offers more pay and more performance-based bonuses. Yes, they would have to go on a probationary status, but that would be the choice of the teacher. And if the teacher chooses not to go on to the green tier, they stay remain on the red tier, those teachers will also benefit significantly from this contract because they'll be making 28% more than they are currently and receiving $10,000 in cash. So we really think it's a no-lose situation, and we're really hoping that the teachers can see past all of the sort of rhetoric that's being bandied about right now and really understand that we believe that this is a system that will allow us to recognize and reward how incredibly important teachers are to the system.
The teachers' union is saying that their concern is about arbitrary firing. What do you say to that? Their concern is that it just isn't possible to give everybody sort of a level of fair scrutiny.
It's interesting because, I mean, the bottom line is that people are saying, well, great teachers could be fired arbitrarily. And my answer to that is, why would I ever create a system where we were arbitrarily firing great teachers? That would not benefit me or this school system.
This goes to your earlier point about sort of changing the culture of the school. One person writing about what you're trying to do in D.C. said that this kind of changes the model of what teaching is about, from kind of a cushy job with summers off to more like boot camp all year round. Do you really think that you can find enough people who are willing to work that hard for that long over time? And how do you sustain momentum for that kind of intensive push and effort?
First of all, I absolutely feel like it's possible to do that. I mean, we have thousands of incredibly hardworking teachers in our system now who do heroic things every day. I absolutely believe that we can continue to recruit and retain the best of them. And one of the best teachers that I saw teaching last year as I was going in and out of schools was a teacher who had taught for 43 years in the system. She had incredibly high expectations of the kids. She worked them relentlessly. Everything in her classroom was geared towards creating the right learning environment. And you know, those teachers are a lot of places. And can you keep it up? Absolutely. This teacher did for 43 years. Now, I also believe, though, that we can't sort of put an overemphasis on longevity. I think that now, if you look at where we are as a nation, people don't go into jobs thinking thinking they're going to stay in the same job for 30 years. That's just not how things work anymore. Oftentimes, people go into a job, they stay there for 3 to 5 years, and they move on to the next job. And I think that we should be open to knowing that some teachers are going to be in that boat, and as long as they're effective during the 5 years that they're here, we should welcome them amongst our ranks.
Well, what about you? I mean, you're famous for working crazy hours, sending, answering every email from
right.
your two BlackBerries,
right.
something, a habit you share with your mayor, Adrian Fenton. How long can you keep this pace up?
You know, I've worked like this for a really long time, and certainly before I became chancellor, and I feel incredibly heartened by the progress that we made to date, and so I'm not planning on slowing down anytime in the near future.
We spoke at the beginning of last school year. We're speaking at the beginning of this school year. If we talk next year, what kind of progress are you aiming for? Is there any number, any benchmark you're willing to lay down for yourself?
Well, we saw extraordinary gains during my first year in office. We saw an 8% rise in elementary reading scores, an 11% gain in math scores. And then at the secondary level, we grew 9 percentage points in reading and math separately. And, you know, those gains were greater than the prior 4 years all put together in the district. So we feel incredibly good about what we were able to do, and we want to build on that momentum. We want to increase the number of schools who are meeting AYP and who are seeing increases in their achievement levels, significantly increased to the thousands, the number of children who are reading and doing math on grade level, and significantly closing the achievement gap that exists in the city between wealthy white students and poor minority students. So there are a lot of measures, I think, by which we can continue over time to really gauge our progress.
Michelle Rhee is in her second year as Chancellor of Washington, D.C.'s public schools. We spoke to her from her office. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.